All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Critically Thinking, Dr. T and Dr. P. Today is June the 1st, the 1st of June, 2023. Merrily, we roll along. And of course, don't forget that our show is sponsored by CardioMiracle, cardiomiracle.com. Great supplement, heart health, especially nowadays with all that's going on with the myocarditis and blood pressure issues and blood clotting, especially in plaques, especially in people who didn't even get the shot. So cardiomiracle.com, go to that website and use CT15 as the code for your first 15% off. It's a great, great, great product, and we recommend it. Also, EMF SOL, as you can see, I'm a walking advertisement for it. No, this is not an Apple Watch. This is an EMF XL band. And when I travel, I take my room harmonizers with me and my Sleep Z's bag, and all set to reduce my calcium channels from opening and flooding my cells, giving me a sympathetic charge. Dr. T, basketball finals and hockey finals are upon us. The Las Vegas Golden Knights are playing the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup. Neither team has ever won the Stanley Cup, so this will be a nice final. And in the basketball arena, the Boston Celtics were down 3-0 against the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference final, and they came back to tie it 3-3. No team in the history of the NBA has ever gone down 3-0, come back and won 4 straight games in a row. It was 0 out of 150 times. And I'll tell you, it's now 0 out of 151. The Celtics got creamed in the Boston Garden by the Miami Heat. So the finals are the Miami Heat, who have won a number of NBA finals, against the Denver Nuggets, who've been in the league 46 years and have never won the NBA championship.
So wait a minute, let me hear you get this right. So they were down 3-0 and they came back and won 4 straight in a row?
They came back and won 3 in a row.
Okay.
And then they lost the fourth. They lost the last game. Game 7, they lost. They got creamed in the Boston Garden. I was watching it a little bit and I had to turn it off because Boston looked so bad. And so here you have.
Why do you suppose that was?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Some people blame the coach because it was his first time. They said he wasn't experienced enough. I personally.
And he won 3 in a row. I mean, that's pretty, you know.
Well, the Celtics had the second best record in the league in the Eastern Conference. And once the Milwaukee Bucks were eliminated by the Miami Heat, the Celtics became the favorite. And then Miami just went through every single favorite. Miami wasn't even in the top 8 to begin with. They had a play-in playoff that actually got them into the 8th seed. And now the 8th seed is in the NBA Finals, I think for the second time ever. So it's a big big game. And the Celtics now are down. They were high on the list of going to the championship. The Boston Bruins, the hockey team, won the trophy for the best record in the hockey. They got eliminated by the Florida Panthers, who are now in the Stanley Cup. So it's a lot of upheaval. A seed is just where you are in the order, with your best the best record all the way down to the last one who gets in the playoffs. And of course, the Boston Red Sox are close to the last place in the American League East.
Who was it that was it? It was baseball before, wasn't it? That they were down 4-0 and they came back and won the World Series. What was that?
Oh, you had to rub it in a little bit, Dr.
Oh, I don't even know the right team.
To rub it in. In 2004, the Boston
2004, Red, like I would remember that, Larry.
Oh,
I
mean, but you had to bring it up, didn't you? In 2004, the Boston Red Sox were down 3-0 to the New York Yankees.
Oh, it was to the Yankees. So I honestly, God, I did not know.
I had to bring it up. Right. And Boston came back, not only won four in a row to eliminate the Yankees, but the Red Sox went to the World Series, and it was their first World Series in like 100 years. So, and it was always said that—
Did they win? I don't remember.
Yeah, the Red Sox won the World Series.
Oh, wow.
But it was always said that the Yankees cursed the Red Sox because the Yankees traded for Babe Ruth. And then Babe Ruth went on to have this amazing career in baseball. And it was called the Boston Curse. It was the Red Sox Curse. And it wasn't until because the Red Sox had, you know, a great team in 75. They should have won the World Series, and the Cincinnati Reds beat them. And then there were many other teams during the 80s, a little bit in the 90s, that were really good and never went to the World Series. And in 2004, the Red Sox fans were like, oh no, not again. And then they came back. They beat the Yankees and they went on to the World Series and won the World Series. So.
Yeah, I thought all that I remember of that story was I thought that it was the Red Sox and I thought they won. That's all I didn't remember the year. I didn't remember who they played. I didn't remember any of that. But I just remember that it was being such an incredible inspiration. And, you know, kind of is it's even, you know, 20 years later, just as a human interest story, it's just a great inspiration that when you're, you really think you're down and out and you're the underdog and you're just not going to make it, you don't throw in the towel and quit. You just dig in and come back and you win, and then you go on to win even bigger. I mean, I just think that's a great human inspirational interest story.
Well, that's a good segue to what's going on in the world today, right? Because it seems like our side, whatever that means, or the truth, is the underdog, because the propaganda has been so intense for decades to create a one world, new world order where, you know, the United States would collapse. And so we have to continue to pursue our dreams and stay the course for bringing the truth out. So great segue. But somebody did mention a nice photo. For those of you who are interested, I don't usually talk much about what I do and what I'm doing, so I'll just put a little plug in here. I was asked by Lady Carla Davis if I would send her an article or just give her something that she could use about me that would feature me and my work for Masters of Health magazine. And the article came out today. So for those of you who are interested, Masters of Health magazine, and the article appears on page 8. So I recommend that you go take a listen or go take a look, because it's the article is really about the mind shift of pediatric medicine. And for those of you who have heard my work in the past, I really take you through a little bit of a journey of what Western medicine taught me and what eventually became my path to help children stay well. And so I would strongly recommend that you go ahead and
When you posted that in our chat, Larry, I saw it pop up and then I was just ready to leave. And I've been gone all day. I just walked in the door. So I didn't read the article yet. Did you write it or was it an interview?
This one I wrote. And you know, okay. I love to write, but I have a block bigger than a cell block. And I wrote it right down to the last minute. And yeah, it's a little over 1900 words. And I hope you enjoy it. It's a little bit of a journey about how Western medicine sets up its propaganda, essentially, and how I have moved towards an idea of how we can take care of kids a little healthier. Because Western medicine, I know a lot of people want to trash Western medicine, and I don't. I think Western medicine is an amazing, amazing field of medicine. I think it has great, great history taking, great physical exams. And, you know, our teachers have always said 95% of your diagnosis should come from just taking the history and then confirmed by the physical exam, and then maybe some labs at the end. But I hope you enjoy the article. It is the future. I do believe it is the future. And I look forward to sharing more of that information with you in the future.
Cool.
Yeah. Good job.
That picture of you on the cover is like pretty cheeky, you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you this little story about that cover. Actually, that picture was taken about summer of 2020. And I was doing a film, an interview for the film that Children's Health Defense sponsored. It was the one about healthcare and the African American community. I don't know if I ever made it into the film. I don't think I did. But that day, I was in a cafe across from where I was being interviewed, and I was wearing a blue blazer. And I went into a cafe. I didn't have my mask on when I was standing alone with no one in the cafe waiting for my order. Some guy walked up to me and went like this. And I went, "What?" And he said, "You need to put your mask on." I said, "No, I don't. There's no one around me." He says, "You need to put your mask on." He starts engaging me in a conversation. And I start explaining, you know, some of the science. And he just became this, you know, self-righteous, arrogant expert who, you know, knows it all. And so finally I look at him and I said, "You know, you're right." I said, "You're much smarter than I am. And so I can't have this conversation with you because you're too bright for me. So I'm going to bow out of the conversation." So I went back to what I was doing. And then all of a sudden I felt him brush against my arm, Sherry. And I got my order and I went to sit down at a table outside the cafe, and I had a bag over my head, and I went to take the bag off. The guy sitting next to me said, "No, no, no, don't take your bag off." I said, "Why?" He said, "You got something on your sleeve." He was playing with some package of like ketchup-like sauce, and he sprayed it on my arm.
Oh, no.
And I have to tell you, lucky for him and lucky for me, he had been long gone, because the rage that went off inside of me, I saw him lying in a pool of blood in a fetal position on the floor of the cafe, bleeding, just bleeding out from everywhere, because I was so enraged. And certainly I'm grateful that I did not do anything about my rage. And I'm certainly grateful that he was gone. And so that's that day. After that filming, I had dinner with Mary Coyle, who is a homotoxicologist, for those of you interested, realchildcenter.com, and Louise Habakas. We had at Mary's husband's restaurant in the city. So that photo was taken on that same day. So that's 3 years old.
So that's a name from the past.
Which one?
Louise Habakas.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to Louise in years. So have you talked to her? I mean, obviously you talked to her 3 years ago. Do you want to talk to her at all? I mean, what is she up to these
Louise
days?
Louise and I are very close friends. She is now Louise Ko. She took her maiden name, A-U-O, and she has stepped back from the activist community and is doing her own thing and exploring life. She's doing really well.
Well, that's good. Well, the next time you talk to her, give her my best. I always like Louise, but I bet it's been 10 years probably since I've talked to her.
Yeah. For those of you who are interested, Louise was one of the lead editors or lead authors. I think she was the lead editor of the book, Vaccine Epidemic.
Right.
And did you have a chapter in that book?
I did.
Yeah.
I did write a chapter in that book. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's a very well done book for those of you who are interested.
And Mary Holland was one of the editors on that. There's like, I don't know, 20 chapters or so, and each person kind of contributed a chapter. It's still out there and around. So it was about that time when, I don't know, I guess it's been at least 10 years since that book came out, because that was about the time that I was spending time with Louise. So, and you know, lives just go, you know, two roads diverge in the yellow woods, right? I mean, it wasn't any hard feelings, at least not on my part. It's just that our paths just went in different directions, but I always liked her. So give her my best when you see her.
I will. I talk to her frequently. So, yep. So, and that jacket is clean now. So I will wear it another time and I'll let you know when I have it on. Son of a gun. I really wanted to kill him. I was so enraged. It's such a self-righteous, you know what.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, it's similar to what I did when I was in the Chicago airport a couple of weeks ago, when the guy yelled at me and said, don't ask questions. And I looked at him and I said, excuse me, is that how you talk to people? You know, it takes mastery to be able to respond to people in a way so you don't kill them and you don't get in trouble for doing it, you know, because, you know, some people are just real jerks. I mean, just real jerks. So anyway, I trust that all will be taken care of in their own time. I don't have to go and do anything to a man like that. His conscience and his maker will take care of it all. I don't have to do a thing.
Cool.
So what's new in the world, Dr. T? I'm almost afraid to start talking about what's really going on in the world.
Go right ahead.
I have some really interesting videos that I wanted to show. I mean, give me a second and I'll see if I can find them. For those of you who are interested, The End of COVID, which is an online education center, online education forum that's going to have over 80 lectures that's coming out in June. I think it's June 20th.
Who's doing this?
Alec Zek, Tom Cowan, Andy Kaufman, Kelly Brogan, Amanda Vollmers. They're spearheading it all. So it's just a huge series of lectures. They picked their people to do it.
Obviously.
Yeah, I know. I saw the look in your face, like, Dr. T. No, seriously, it's called The End of COVID, and it's coming out on June 20th, I believe. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, here it is.
Have you noticed, and I guess this is just a segue on top, and this is just an opinion. But have you noticed, I mean, there's a lot of little videos, you know, or trailers or different things that are coming out, and how selectively certain people have been included and people have been unincluded, or what's the word for unincluded? Not included. Have you noticed that?
You know, it's interesting because if you look when I look at the propaganda side of things, it's amazing how unified they are and how anyone who's been bought out and bought up, and included really just follows the entire, you know, propaganda. When you have our groups, and I say our groups because it's not just one group, you have these cliques and you have a lot of egos and you have a lot of will and a lot of self-aggrandizing, fame-attracting people. And you have those who do it, who can't be bought, who won't be bought, who are in it for what we would consider, and, you know, I don't want to judge anyone specifically, but we would consider for the right reasons. And so you see a lot of jockeying, you know, and I said this on a podcast when you were out one week and I did it with Lee. And I said, you know, who funded the Revolutionary War? And she said, the banks. I said, who funded both sides of the Revolutionary War? Same people. Who funded the Civil War? Same people. Who funded World War I? They funded each side. Who funded World War II? They funded each side. And so when people like you and me, who have been doing the work for the long haul,
Longer than almost everybody who claims to be the front runners now.
Right. So when people like you and me are not included, I look at it two ways. One, the people who are bankrolling the powerful people who are trying to take over the world are the same people who are bankrolling the people who get to speak on our side, whether they know it or not. They may not even know it. But you see all of these people who just rise up to have such a frontline voice. And you have to ask yourself, how are they all of a sudden getting this fortune and fame? And, you know, it makes me go back to, well, who funds wars? Because to me, this is a war. And the second thing that it makes me think of is, thank God I'm protected and I'm exactly where I need to be, because I know for me, I'm meant to be where it is that I am and no other place. And so I don't really get all wrapped up in, well, you know, come on, I've been doing this for 25 years. You know, how is it that these people who just are wiping the breast milk off the side of their mouth from, you know, weaning the mother's milk, how are they getting all of this, you know, fortune and fame? And I wonder, I can't be convinced, but I wonder if it has to do with the fact that the bankrolling comes from the same people who are, you know, creating the war in the first place. Then they may not even know it. And so, and then the second thing is I'm grateful because I'm being protected. And so I know that regardless of what happens, Sherry, out in the world, we're going to continue doing what we do. And we're going to do it for the people who want to hear it, need to hear it, and who are willing to do the grassroots stuff. And that's it. You know, these people who are out there who are new Johnny come latelys are really, no, but Sherry, they got bullets in their heads. They got targets in their chests. So I don't envy them.
What makes you think that?
Well, at least that's the way it has to be, has to come across. It has to come across that they're getting, you know, they may lose their licenses. They may lose their, you know, hospital affiliations. They may not get hired anymore. So, you know, they're putting their careers on the line. Right. Yeah. Come on, smile. Keep that smile, Dr. T. No, I think it's perfectly right to be exactly where, at least I can't speak for you, but I think it's perfectly right to be where I am. I do. Because
I don't really get emotionally swayed one way or another about it. I just find it amusing. I mean, I just find it amusing that those of us that were on the front line for decades before, like you said, the Johnny Come Lately show up, and we were the ones with the big machetes, you know, whacking down the weeds and, you know, them making the road much easier for them to walk down, you know. And to me, it's like, it's there, you know, the Johnny Come Lately sort of speak, using your phrase. It's interesting to me that, you know, they're all the front runners now, and they don't even acknowledge that all of those that went before them and plowed the road for them.
I don't think they know that they need to, or that it's necessary, or that it's noble, or that I don't know from where comes their impetus to do what they're doing. I don't know what's driving them. I don't know them personally, so I don't know what's driving them. So again, I am grateful that I'm not being dragged through the media and I'm not being dragged through the mud, and that I don't have a target on me the way they could because of how open and out front they are. You know, speaking to congressional committees and, you know, speaking to politicians and speaking to different media outlets. That's a lot. That's a lot. So I'm grateful that I get to do it on the ground. I get to do it on the ground exactly where I need to do it. And I'm okay because they're taking the hits for us. I see it that way also. They're taking the hits for us, you know? And so they're in the front lines. So let them be in the front lines and we can, you know, continue to do what we're doing on the ground. So that's the way I see it. I mean, I don't know if I'm right, but I do feel that I'm protected. I do. And I do feel that I'm meant to go where I'm meant to go.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Was there another story? Oh, yeah. This is a good one.
Well, you have to understand that nobody exists on a high level of government who's opposed to the New World Order. Our government has literally been infiltrated. And there's a cancer within our government destroying, eating it, nibbling away at it, hacking off its limbs.
And you said this started in 1945?
1945 was when the overt destruction began to occur and Truman signed the UN Participation Act of the United Nations Treaty. It actually began long before that. These secret societies began to infiltrate the government and appoint their members to important posts. Infiltration is easy. If one gets in, he can then appoint and hire others to replace people who are not members below him.
So now we've had over 50, almost 50 years at this point.
At least, I believe that it started back probably 1913, 1917, the Federal Reserve Act was passed, and the Council of Foreign Relations became a reality in this country. And you can, by diligent research and study, you can see when it happened, where it happened, who did it, and how it was done. It's apparent. When they say there's no conspiracy, I mean, we talk about a conspiracy. It started out as a conspiracy. But when they say today there's no conspiracy, that's not a lie. It's the truth. They are doing it right out in the open, right under our noses. And we're too stupid to know it, to see it. Well, you have to understand that nobody exists.
Who is this guy? Do you know this guy? His name is Bill Cooper, but do you know him?
He passed. Well, I know who he was. I mean, he passed away quite a few years ago. And you know, a lot of people say that he was murdered because he was exposed. He was one of the early ones on that was pretty vocal on social media, exposing all the things that he was just there talking about. And I think he wrote the book, Behold the Pale Horse.
Wow.
You know, and so he, I think that's what it was. Maybe somebody could confirm that he wrote the book, Behold the Pale Horse. I believe that's it. Yeah, he did. Okay, so thank you for confirming that. But yeah, he was one of the very early people that was out exposing everything that he just said. And, you know, and that was probably, I'm guessing, maybe somebody else can confirm that, but I'm pretty much, it was like in the 70s, I think. So it was quite a while ago. And so he, yeah, I was right. Every once in a while it works. It works. Every once in a while. And they were pretty sure that he'd been murdered. So.
This is what's interesting is no matter how many people have been Clintonized, no matter how many people have been taken out.
Suicided?
Yeah, Clintonized. The fact of the matter is that it doesn't stop the truth.
No.
It's like, you know, they take one out and then there are 10 more. And then they take 10 out and there are 100 more. And, you know, I don't know what kind of strategy they think is going to work by, you know, if Buttar was taken out, I mean, how does that change
the message?
I mean, the message is still going to get out there and it may not get out by Buttar, but it'll still get out there. So I'm not sure what kind of strategy there is, if there is one, because the message just keeps going. You know?
And actually, it's interesting because I believe I totally agree with you, Larry. But I think now more than ever, I mean, that's why the heavy-handed censorship, because more and more people resonate with what they know is true, or they've heard and they've taken the time to go read and investigate and look at studies and pull a study. How I've always done my thing is you read the study and then you pull the references to the study and pull the references to the next interesting study, right, the next right. one, next one, so you can kind of get back to the core stuff that happened a long time ago. But, and so people are learning more, they're reading more, they're listening more. I had somebody I talked to today. Oh my gosh, I haven't talked. There's a friend of mine. I haven't talked to her in a long time, like 30 years. This is one of those things, Larry, that you suddenly realize how old you are, right? So my friend Angie, I haven't talked to her in really, like, it's, I'm going to guess it was probably in the mid 90s is the last time we talked. And so she reminded me that one of the things she remembers about me is when she was pregnant for her first child, she's in the financial services world. And I was in her office and she was complaining of her back. And I had laid her down across her desk and adjusted her back, you know, because the osteopath in me, right? So she was telling me that she still remembers when I did that. And I said, so how is her daughter doing? I said, how's she doing? And she goes, oh, she's fine. And I have 3 grandchildren, 9, 7, and 5. Oh. I said, oh, did that suddenly make me feel really old? You know, not only had I not talked to her for a long time, she's got a 9-year-old grandkid, you know? It's so, but the idea was, is that all of these things, like, you know, the truth just stays around for a long time. And she was rattling off to me today of things that we used to talk about 30 years ago. She said she and her husband are going to be married 43 years this year. Oh my gosh. You know, it's just how time flies and how things just kind of go along. But then I guess the point I was making is that, you know, more people have done their own investigation. Oh, I know why I started to say that, because she said, I don't know where to get news anymore. She goes, I know that mainstream media is just nothing but propaganda. I said, well, you can find a few people that really resonate with you, and you just need to, you know, find a few nuggets. And if you believe what they say, then you can listen to them. And I mentioned Next News Network with Gary Franchi and Stu Peters and, you know, Alex Jones and Mike Adams. I mean, you can sift through what resonates with you. And I said, but you're never going to find a single grain of truth from CNN, MSNBC, or even Fox, any of the mainstream media, because they have become, become nothing more than a Russian monarchy with a propaganda arm that is no longer called news. It's just called propaganda. And, you know, and she said, well, I guess I just have to figure out who I'm going to believe. I said, more importantly, you need to figure out what you're going to believe. You know, you really need to believe what you're going to believe, and doing your own reading, read books, read articles, you know, find websites that you like to read, and you like to read the author and you really like you resonate with their perspective. You know, like I really like to read, I can't read it every day because it's usually pretty long, but I really like Jeff Childers' Substack, you know, Coffee and COVID. I like his writing style. It's easy to read. He writes the way I think, so it's real easy to read. And he makes these little smart aleck comments like that just make you laugh. And he'll be writing along and go, yeah, right, I got it, you know, or something like that, you know. And he writes about interesting things. And, you know, I think you find the things that you are attracted to that resonate with you. And then you do your own homework and figure out if that is something that goes along with your belief system.
Right. So was it you that or someone gave me the link to his recent one on ChatGPT?
Yes, that was really good.
Really good. And I'm not sure how much of it was tongue in cheek and how much of it was real. But the way I'm now understanding it is that if ChatGPT becomes the new internet, then the powers that be get to control more of the information. So you can't just willy-nilly go out and find the information you really want. They're going to tell you what information you really need
and what you're allowed to read.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's socially possible. But, you know, I had a conversation with someone today and I said, you know, I'm happy to go back to Encyclopedia Britannica. I'm happy to go back into the library. I mean, you and I are still of the generation where, you know, we went into the library and we spent 6 hours in the dungeons, right? In the stacks, reading old books, reading old, you know, encyclopedias. We actually knew how to use the Dewey Decimal System. We knew, right? And I'm perfectly okay with, you know, that being yet another turn in my life. I wanted to share something with you that I got recently, and
don't teach your children to read, teach them to question what they read. The value of an education is not learning of many facts, but the training of the mind to think. George Carlin strikes again.
Doesn't he?
That's so true.
Doesn't he? Yeah. So yeah, I'm curious. I'm really curious to see where the world is going to go. I do think it's going to fractionate. It's going to be interesting who goes where. But I feel really badly for people who are growing up today who have no skills on how to think, who are just downloaded. And that's why, you know, one of the talks that I give and one of the things that I say to parents in the office is, please don't answer your kids' questions with the answer. Please reflect back to them an opportunity for them to figure it out on their own. Because if you continue to give them the answers because you want to dump your world into them, what you essentially do is create the opportunities for them to continue to seek the answers from outside because you kept dumping your world into their heads. So you gave them no opportunity to think. So when kids ask me questions, I almost always say, I don't know. What do you think? Tell me an idea. Tell me what your idea is, because I want to know how the child sees the world through his or her eyes. And so I beg parents, if you don't want to create the world of subservience to outside authorities, we need to parent our kids differently. We need to talk to each other differently. We need to relate to each other so that we're not dumping our world into their heads, and therefore they walk around waiting for more dumps. And that's what ChatGPT is. That's what CNN is. That's what MSNBC is. It's just the dump telling you what to think. And if parents don't stop parenting their kids that way, well, I don't want my kid to suffer. I don't want my kid to feel bad. I don't have to give my kid to struggle. Well, then you're creating another opportunity for kids to become subservient and to need outside authority to keep them alive.
Well, interestingly enough, I wrote an article. There's a magazine that it's called The Islander, and it's the Channel Islands, like off the coast of Santa Barbara and Ventura, kind of in that area. And it's a kind of a local magazine. It's a monthly, actually. And it's got a pretty big, wide distribution. And then they also have a pretty busy online site. And we're starting to do some advertising in there for our ECP clinic in Ventura. So when we decided to put in the ad, when we did the professional level, then once a quarter, you can also write an article to go along with your ad. So I wrote an article about, you know, what is ECP, what is it about, things like that. And it took quite a bit of time to write it because it was a 1,000-word limit. It had to be, you know, right at 1,000 words. So I got it right at 997 words. And I thought I'd done a pretty good job and tried to make it, you know, not use any big medical language and make it readable to people. And so I put it all together and I sent it to the editor, and he said he really liked it. He said, and you know, just for fun, I went out to ChatGPT and I asked the question, what is external counterpulsation, which is what ECP is? And they wrote about an 800 word article back. And I was kind of mortified because that it did as well. And, you know, it maybe even better than into the way that, you know, and sudden the way that I wrote it. And I think I'm a pretty darn good writer. And I was kind of just jaw dropped, right? So I said back to this guy, I think his name's Bill, but I may be wrong about that. But he said, so are you going to use my article or the ChatGPT article? He said, no, of course I'm using yours. And he has two kids in college and two kids that are like in high school. And he said, so I play around with this periodically. Plus he's a journalist. And he said, it's really kind of frightening to think that, you know, journalists and writing skills and book authors and things like that. Well, it's almost going to be an industry that I don't think it'll ever go away. Sort of like that article that Jeff Childers wrote, it'll never go away because you always have to have a human to ask the question. And the podcast that I did last week with that husband and wife team, Heather, you can put it up there. If you've got the trailer, it was really good. And they were talking about, you always have to have humans, but the number of humans that you actually need to be able to do these things is much less than what it was. And so I think it's kind of, that's why that article by Jeff Childers about the ChatGPT and, you know, AI and, you know, it's coming and there's no way that we can avoid it. It's just, how are we going to use it? Sort of like the central bank digital currency. I mean, I just read an article today, a short article that they've already got it planned to starting in July to trial it in 100 countries. And there was a little video that I watched. Actually, I could put it in here and you could, it was a little Twitter video. And they're going to position it as convenience. It's one additional way. Everything will be in one place and you can have it right underneath your skin. And all you have to do is everything in your world will be right there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, I mean, maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm young in my thinking. Maybe I'm pretty ignorant, but I don't think ChatGPT will dominate.
I think it will be a major player because it's AI. And the reason I say that, Larry, is because it learns. You know, it's all the AI communication stuff. It gets better with time because it has the ability to improve. That's how like voice recognition software, how it gets better with time because it learns your voice inflections and how you pronounce things. It has a learning capability to it. And that's the part that even when Joe Rogan on his show was talking about it, that's the part that's, we don't know what that looks like and how far that will go. Well, so I do believe it's a major concern.
We'll see. So do you remember last week we talked about Target and what Target was doing with their baby clothes and Pride Month paraphernalia?
Yeah.
Apparently they retracted their paraphernalia, their clothes.
Their stuff.
And
they took it back? They took it off the market?
Well, apparently they said they were. I haven't checked online and I don't go into Target to really check, but apparently they lost $9 billion in a week of revenue. So, and apparently Kohl's, K-O-H-L-S, apostrophe S, is getting the same
blowback.
Blowback, yeah, for their material. And the thing is that, you know, if you look at some of the chats, I'll occasionally see something on one of the social medias and I'll go in to look at the comments. And people don't realize that what's really going on is this is an attempt to destroy anything that's American. It's things like Target and Kohl's, these big businesses are what, you know, America stands by. being a capitalist society, and we look to these brands as American.
Mm.
The purpose of Human Rights Campaign, the purpose of the credit, the CEI, is to actually encourage these stores to do things that reduce loyalty from the public, so that what is American crashes. And as many people know, the businesses are still getting money behind the scenes, so they're not going to suffer. What will suffer is the people who work for these stores, who rely on the $15, $17, $19 an hour, if that much. And once people get so enraged at these American brands and stop shopping, these American brands will die out, and therefore America and its brand will fall. It's another way for them to destroy the American culture. So I'm not so sure that not going to Target or not going to Kohl's is the right answer.
But I think that it is, because it, and I'll tell you why. Because in the very short term, I mean, if they could crash, I mean, even though they're getting money behind the scenes, they are not going to get a sustainable $9 billion per month. So if they could do the pressure for a couple of months and press them to pull back and get the stuff out of there, and then say, thank you very much, and now go back to the store and continue to shop like you did before. I think that's important. It might be our only way that we can really blow back. I mean, we know our elections are rigged. You know, voting isn't going to make a difference. We know our courts are rigged. I mean, what's going to happen? You know, the court's justice doesn't really happen. So maybe the only way that we have is to vote with our dollars and to vote with our feet. And I agree with you, because I've read the same things about who it really hurts are the people who actually work there. But that's true if it goes on in perpetuity.
Right.
But if it's a boycott that's a short enough period of time to make a big statement and to get them to pull back on what their customers don't want, and then when that gets pulled back, you go back and start shopping there again. And if they start pulling that nonsense again, you do it again. Sort of like with Chick-fil-A. I mean, Chick-fil-A just hired a diversity expert. Like, seriously? Like, hashtag, Amanda posted this today, hashtag not a Christian. You know, I mean, and this was the same company that refused to serve gay people, like, not too terribly long ago, because it wasn't biblical, you know. And so now they're hiring a diversity expert. I did a podcast, actually it gets posted next week, with Rainer Zeitman, who's a author. He's written like 70, he's like 26 books, and he's written a book. I just bought it because the interview was so interesting. I bought his book, and it's called In Defense of Capitalism. When I talked to him, he was actually in a hotel in Mongolia. He's a German guy. He was in Mongolia promoting his book. And he was talking about, you know, this whole concept of diversity has nothing to do with diversify. He said diversity would mean you'd get 20 people in the room with 20 different opinions about things, and you would have a civil conversation about what you like and don't like and what you think is good and what you don't think is good. And he said, that's diversity. He said, what they're defining as diversity is unification. Everybody has to think the way we do, or it's not, or you get labeled as being anti-diversity. And it was really an interesting interview. And the way that he put that, when you heard it, you went, yeah, but I hadn't really heard anybody kind of say it like that before. Equity, I mean, it would be, does everybody want to take all of their paychecks at all different levels and throw it in a pot and then divide it up equally? I don't see anybody doing that. And so I really liked his explanation of diversity, which we really aren't doing. And now Chick-fil-A, yeah, like Angelique says out there, Chick-fil-A is gone woke. That's really sad. I think that's really, really sad.
Yeah, but again, I think that's part of the CEI, which is run by, you know, the Soros conglomerate. to ensure that, again, it's an attempt to destroy America's brand. And that's why I say it's a catch-22, because you don't want the people to lose their jobs, but you don't want to support the corporation because they're punching you in the face. They're literally just, you know, tossing you aside, and they don't care about the values because they're being manipulated from somewhere higher above. I do see it as an attempt to destroy what is American. And, you know, because they're trying to look, you and I both know that this is all about guns. If people didn't have guns, this would have fallen a long time ago, a long, long time ago. Dr. T.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I mean, they've said that. I mean, that's the main reason they've been trying to get rid of 2A, so that, you know, but China found a way around it. I mean, you know, China's been able, you know, or China, you know, they've been able to take over a country and not even fire a shot. Except they did fire shots, no pun intended, right?
Yeah, they did.
They didn't fire a bullet. Let me clarify that.
Not that we know of, because again, we don't know what news comes out is true, and we don't know if all the news that comes out is all the news that's there. So I will.
That's true.
So somebody wanted to know about my chlorine dioxide. Do you remember that baby on March 13th that when you and Lee were on March 16th on the podcast, I told you I got sick from that baby? I saw the baby again this past week.
Oh, okay.
I was fine. I took lots of precautions, and I have been incorporating my miracle solution, and I upped it a little bit more that day that I saw the baby. He's doing well. He's good, and the parents are good, and so the solution is helping me. I think this is probably helping me as well. And remember, cardiomiracle.com, CT15 is your code for 15% off, and EMFSOL, Heather will have that link in the chat for you to know how to get your order and get your 15% off as well.
And we need to start mentioning, I mean, it is June
4th. Go ahead.
You want to do it?
No, it's yours. Go ahead.
That people need to mark your calendars for the summer boot camp. The boot camp is the 5 Docs boot camp. I think Heather's got a really super cool graphic up there of what that kind of looks like. You can start, the registration is now open. And Heather's got the link up there too. So it starts July the 6th, which is only 4 weeks away. And every Thursday night, right after Critically Thinking, we'll just roll right into the what our boot camp is. It's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, from 8:30 to roughly about 10 on Thursday nights. You'll get three of the 5 docs every week, talking about really specified information that we have crafted out for us to just join together. I'll be on every week for those 6 weeks with Matt. With those of you who've done our boot camps before, you know who Matt is. He's my business partner in that particular venture. And then we'll have Larry and Dr. Northrup talking on one thing, and we'll have Chris, or Lee Merritt is going to start us off talking about the history of medicine. I mean, it's a really, the 5 docs spent quite a bit of time hashing out what we wanted this to look like as we bring this together to offer all of you guys. So mark your calendars. The first boot camp night is July the 6th. It goes every Thursday night up until, I think, the last one is August the 10th. On the August the 10th, all 5 of us will be there having kind of a 5 docs event with you, which I think will be really fun. When you register to join, you remember, this doesn't start till July the 6th. So a lot of times when people have registered for our boot camps in the past, they think they're going to automatically log in and start seeing something. No, think about this as kind of like community college. You know, you go and you register for class, you register for your courses, And then class starts in this case, like on July the 6th. So,
can I read the names of the topics or?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. I don't have them in front of me.
I have it in front of me. So week one, July 6th, Dr. Lee Merritt and Dr. Made and Dr. Tenpenny, ethics of how we got here. Week two, July 13th, how to live healthy, Dr. Made, Dr. Merritt, and Dr. Tenpenny. Week three, July 20th, becoming your own healer, me, Dr. Made, and Dr. Tenpenny. Week four, July 27th, maternal child healthcare in the 21st century, Dr. Northrup and me, and Dr. Tenpenny. Week five, August 3rd, exiting the system, Dr. Tenpenny, Dr. Made, and then week six, August 10th, is all five of us, five docs to wrap it up. So,
and when you do register, because somebody had actually asked me this, the five docs summer boot camp is $349. Is, I think there's a, I don't, is there an early registration, Heather? I don't remember.
There is not.
There's not. Okay. So it's $349. So divide that by six, about $50 a week. And it's really an amazing thing that we're putting together for everybody. And you have, if you miss anything, or I just got a message from somebody that I believe is from Australia. So they're in a different time zone. So they can't really join us live. And another person that said, you know, it's a busy time for us with farming, and you will have access to all of the articles to be able to go back and listen to it again. You have a year full access to all of the content, all the materials. We will be making individual little videos. There'll be some links to some things that we think is important for you to talk about. And so it's, we think it's going to be really fun. And we hope that you will like it and we'll get a lot of participation to the point where maybe we will do this again real soon. I mean, we're going to do this in July. You know, we may do it like right after the first of the year when it's cold and wintry and people are all stuck inside. You know, we may go through and do something like this again. The topics might change a little bit, but it, you know, we'll see how it all goes. Cause I just think it's going to be an amazing time together. We look forward to having all of you participate.
I'm looking forward to it, especially going at it with Dr. Northrup. I wanted to show this before. I know it's probably not the right timing, but I wanted to show you this before. Do you know this woman?
Really imploring the people and all the peoples around the world, for God's sake, stop giving your democratically elected governments the benefit of the doubt. They are not deserving of that. They are not. Stop rationalizing whatever your government is doing. Stop rationalizing and come up with some good intentions. They have no good intentions. You cannot comply your way out of a tyranny. It is impossible. Trying to do so, you will only feed a gigantic alligator in the hopes of being eaten last. But guess what? Your turn will come, and then you will be the one swallowed up. I also have to ask the people, end your silence. Speak up. For God's sake, stop complying. Start rebelling. They're out to get you if you do not resist. In order to deal with this unfree world, to defy this unfree world, I have decided to become so absolutely free that my very existence is an act of really imploring.
Christine, she's a European Union Parliament. I've heard her before. Do you know what country she's from?
No, I was just going to ask you that.
She sounds Northern European. Germany. There you go. Germany. Couldn't have said it better myself. That's a great way to end it. You can never comply your way out of tyranny.
That ought to be a t-shirt somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure it already is.
All right, my friend.
All right, everybody. Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P, the 1st of June, 2023. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy summer. Stay safe. Be well. And we'll see you next time. Thank you, Heather. Dr. T, always a pleasure. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye-bye.